So the Jason Rant Show brought to you by the Dan Bongino Show. Heard weekday mornings 9 to noon right here on KTTH. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
I made a vow on the show to tell you about the judges who make boneheaded decisions. Sometimes they make mistakes, and that's one thing. Depending on the consequences of that mistake, we might go after them or not. But sometimes they do something willingly stupid. Sometimes they do things that put your safety on the line, the safety of your friends and family, your kids. And these are the people who need to be called out. King County Superior Judge Maureen McKee needs to get called out because she decided to dramatically reduce the bail for the guy charged in a murder that happened during one of Seattle's most deadly weekends in recent memory. You see, King County prosecutors asked for $2 million bail after charging a guy named Isaiah Tulasaga with second-degree murder. And they argued in front of this judge that he is a significant risk to the public. He cannot just be released. Apparently, Judge McKee disagreed. She decided to lower the bail to $150,000. But beyond that, beyond going from $2 million to $150,000, she offered not a single condition put upon his release, such as, say, oh, I don't know, you are accused of shooting someone to death. You should give up your gun. Maybe put on an ankle bracelet. Maybe just say, hey, could you just not leave King County so, you know, we can have some semblance of assurance that we're going to be able to get you back into this courtroom as we move forward? None of that at all. She put none of that on him. It was such a shocking move that the King County prosecutors, they made a rare decision to go to another judge to be like, whoa, 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 can y'all fix this? Because this lady, cray cray. They put that in the document.
Cray cray?
Cray cray.
Wow, they listened.
They even hashtagged it. I'm kidding, but they made that argument. So Tulasaga was arrested. He was charged for fatally shooting Ilario Naguarno, 26-year-old guy. Now, according to the police documents, Tulasaga told police, I was just trying to fire my handgun as a warning shot at the guy. You see, this victim, turns out he got into a fight with one of the friends of Tulasaga. This happened at the Ohana Club in downtown Seattle / Belltown-ish. Security ends up breaking up this fight and kicks a whole bunch of people out of the club. Apparently, that crowd that got kicked out continued their conflict in the parking lot across the street. Officers were called, officers arrived. And by the time they got there, things seemed to have been winding down, that all the conflict kind of burned down and everyone was ready to go home. However, at one point towards the end of this, there were several shots fired. Tulasaga was one of the several people detained at the scene. In fact, prosecutors say he was driving away after he shot the victim. Thankfully, police stopped him. Now, according to the police documents, Tulasaga admitted that he has a concealed carry permit for his Glock and that he was the one who fired a shot. According to the police documents, he told police that he intended to merely fire a warning shot to, quote unquote, whiz one by him to get him to calm down, this victim. I didn't intend to shoot the guy. That wasn't my intent. However, a witness says something different. Now, in fairness, the witness was a friend of the victim. The witness, according to the police documents, said, actually, Tulasaga was angry at the victim because of the fight in the bar. In the parking lot, according to this witness, per the police documents, he said he saw Tulasaga punch the victim, push him up against the side of an alleyway, and then he shot the guy, period. Not a, well, he was lifting his arm up, trying to fire a warning shot, whizzed by his head. None of that. He said he just shot him, according to the documents. I have no clue what actually happened. Do I believe the witness? I don't know. Do I believe Tulasaga? A little less trust in him because he's the one who got into a fight. I have no idea what happened. That's why you have police investigations, and that's why you have a prosecutor to make their case. But I do know I wouldn't just release this guy under the most lenient circumstances I could under the law, which is what it kind of feels like. Because Judge McKee ignored the bail request of $2 million, and she cut it down to $150,000. Casey McNerthney, with the King County Prosecutor's Office, talking to Caro 7 TV, "We were shocked by this," he said.
"The judge's decision to lower bail, there were people in our office who lost sleep over that because we don't want to see violence continuing."
And so the prosecutor's office made the decision to appeal to a different judge. Unfortunately, the judge they got was Melinda Young. Not much better than Judge McKee. Now, she did change some things. She didn't change the bail amount. That was left in place. But she did say, you do have to surrender your guns. You do have to surrender your concealed carry permit. You're not allowed to contact the witnesses. You do have to wear some form of electronic monitoring. And you have to stay in King County. And we know he's going to agree to that because he signed a document saying, I'm going to stay in King County and abide by all these rules. And of course, I trust him. Seems like a stand-up guy. Between using his weapon in a way that ends up killing someone. But I'd be, other than that, I'm sure he's a stand-up guy.
Very trustworthy, Jason.
I would trust him with my life.
On the other side of a...
Yeah. Now, I recognized our friend Judge Melinda Young. I recognized her name. And I was like, I know this name from... Where do I know this name? I highlighted her not too long ago about judges who don't do the right thing. Do you remember the homeless guy who stabbed... He's accused of stabbing and charged with stabbing another homeless guy to death at City Hall Park about a month and a half ago or so? Remember that?
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Okay. So before that case, he was actually arrested and charged with assault. And he was originally hit with $20,000. Now, that's a low amount in a traditional sense, but not when you're homeless. That's a high amount. But then the bail was cut to $5,000, and it was paid by the anti-bail group, the Northwest Community Bail Fund. So they paid a smaller amount that was originally asked to get this guy out. He ends up allegedly stabbing to death someone else. I'm waiting to find the judge, and I know that they exist, but I'm waiting to find the judge that I can highlight and say, good on this judge. He or she made the right decision. They're actually holding people to account. Now, we're seeing right now in Seattle a surge of gun violence, which is why I think it's so important to point out the judges that release these people so easily. You'll recall we talked about Judge Marcus Naylor releasing a homeless man who was accused of kicking that 14-year-old dog, Alice, to death while trying to rob, allegedly, the 67-year-old senior citizen who owns the dog. He just released the guy on his own personal recognizance. He skipped out on the next court hearing. And oftentimes, these courts, they're hiding behind claims that, well, according to Washington law, it restricts our ability to offer really high bail amounts. In fact, that was the case with Judge Young, right? So, I couldn't raise the bail amount given the facts of the case. Washington State law. And I reached out to Judge Susan Mahoney. She is the presiding judge of the court. And I asked her, like, can you explain this? Because this seems wrong. And at the time, she was talking about Judge Naylor. At the time, she said, in all cases involving crimes that are not subject to the death penalty, the presumption is that the suspect must be released upon their promise to appear at a future hearing. For a judge to impose more restrictive conditions, state law and Washington State Supreme Court rules require there be demonstrable facts that meet very specific and limited reasons for holding a person. And she encouraged me to read the law. Now, I imagine that when you encourage some folks in the media here to read things, they're all like, no, I don't want to. The Bachelor is on tonight. It's a new episode. It's the one in Paradise, too, because there are a whole bunch, and we know they're going to get up to no good. I'm a pass. But with me, I actually read the law.
Because you don't watch TV outside of
work. Well, because I have no life.
You just keep working and working.
Yes, I work 24/7. And what she's telling us is nonsense in this case. The presumption of release is moot if the prosecution shows that there is, quote, a likely danger that the accused, A, will commit a violent crime. I think one's willingness to use a gun to settle an argument, even if what he's saying is 100% true in the case of the shooting the other weekend, that makes him a danger to the public that warrants a high bail amount. And I think that reasonable people can see that. Unfortunately, we're dealing with too many unreasonable judges, and the latest one is Maureen McKee. And so I would love it if you would help me shine a spotlight on this. If only to put the pressure on these judges to know that we are paying attention when they do these things and we will gladly call them out. And so I wrote about it. And I would love it if you would not just read it, but also share the story. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you a link so you can get her name. And you can post it so she knows we are paying attention. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
New York City became the first large city in the country to impose, to mandate vaccine passports to attend a entertainment venue. So if you're going to theater for Broadway, to go to a gym, to go to a restaurant, you now have to show proof of vaccination. Or you can't go indoors. And it's got some folks wondering if Seattle is going to be next. If I were a betting man, which it turns out I am, I would bet yes. 100% that Seattle will come at some point soon. Because you always bet on stupid. Which reminds me that I pulled a drop that said always bet on black. But then I wanted producer Peyton to insert me saying stupid over the term black. Which then I would have played here, but I totally forgot to tell him. It's from the movie Passenger 57. Which at least you now learned of in all of this.
I had never heard of that until before.
It's a great
that.
Wesley Snipes. I mean, it's an awful movie, but it's a great Wesley Snipes movie.
I thought it just stopped at like White Man Can't Jump and Blade.
I think this was before that.
Okay.
It was definitely before Blade. I don't know if it was before White Man Can't Jump. I would say yes, it's going to happen here because in Seattle, guess what? You have a whole bunch of people who love these kinds of things. They love dictating how other people live because they believe that their eagerness and willingness to get the vaccine makes them somehow morally superior to all you rubes, all you Trump-supporting rubes who won't get the vaccine, even though when you look in Seattle, we don't have all that many Trump supporters. Let's assume that every single one of the 17 Trump supporters in Seattle didn't get vaccinated. You would be fine in Seattle as a result of that. Let's be clear about that. The people in Seattle, for example, who are not getting the shot, they're progressives or they're apolitical because when you look at the numbers, it's like the 18 to 35-year-old crowd. But you've got a whole bunch of people like Jackie Roberts, who owns the Pink Door, saying, oh, yeah, no, I love this idea.
I think it's a fantastic idea. And with 100% vaccinated guests, it helps us to have a really good time in the restaurant when we feel safe.
Okay. Why do you hate religious people so much who don't want to get the vaccine? Why do you hate the disabled people who can't get it? Oh, you mean you don't hold that position, which I bet you don't. I don't think you actually hold that position. And yet you talk about it as if you don't care about the people who can't or just simply don't want to get the vaccine. I am pro-vaccine. I'm pro these vaccines. Not Moderna. I mean, if you can get it, you can get it. I would choose to get the other one because Moderna, everyone's like, I almost died after it. I like getting the Pfizer and not having to experience the feeling of near death.
Well, where's the J&J in there?
I don't know anything about the J&J. Go with Pfizer.
Stick with Pfizer.
Go with whatever you can get. I don't care. I don't own stock in any of these companies.
But get Pfizer.
Get Pfizer. Because that's what I got, and that's the one I have experience with, and I was fine. The issue I have is mandates. Not everyone needs the vaccine. That's irresponsible, Jason. What if you just got COVID like a month ago? You've got the antibodies. I understand why someone who was in that position would hold off on getting the vaccine. I understand that position. I understand the position of people who don't want to get any vaccine. They don't think COVID matters all that much to them specifically because of their personal situation. And look, the truth of the matter is, if you are, say, a 32-year-old guy, you're otherwise healthy, yeah, if you were to get COVID, it might suck. But statistically, the chances of you dying or going to a hospital is extremely low. Do you want to take that risk? That's on you. Should you? I wouldn't. But it's up to you. I don't need to dictate how you're going to live your life. Democrats love to dictate that. They love it. And so they just lean into anything that shows their moral superiority, forcing you to be like them because they're all heroes. You should be a hero just like they are. So you got people like Blair McCaney, who's with the Washington Fitness Alliance. He's saying, whoa, can we just slow down just a little bit? I know you got all the crazies in Seattle who are all down with this. But the truth of the matter is, doing this on gyms at a time we've already been hit hard, does that make sense?
I just got the newest data. We have lost 28% of gyms and studios in this state. 254 have closed permanently, and more will close permanently over the next 6 months.
So what do you think is going to happen if you go ahead and impose these mandates, he told Cuomo?
And I think it's a lot to ask small businesses to ask for the vaccination cards and put your employees sort of in harm's way to do that. It seems to me that that's not the job of the small business owner.
It's not. But again, we live in Seattle where they're all heroes. So someone like John Bartlett with Belltown Strength and Conditioning, he says, oh, yeah, I'd be okay with a citywide vaccination rule here.
And so if that happens here, you know, we will embrace that change. You know, we believe in the science of it.
But there's no science of it. If vaccinated people couldn't get COVID, then why are so many people getting COVID who have been vaccinated? I was talking to my friend Guy Benson, who hosts The Guy Benson Show here, midnight to 3 on KTTH. I think he made this announcement on his show. He's vaccinated and got COVID. He feels fine. He's got no real meaningful symptoms. But he got COVID. The idea of going to a mandate to show that you got the vaccine would make sense, I guess, if you couldn't get COVID with the vaccine and you're trying to cut down the rate of any kind of spread in your business. Okay, I would still disagree with a mandate, but at least I would get it. But COVID positive patients are spreading it despite having the vaccine. So what exactly is the point? It's not like you're cutting down completely the spread of COVID in your restaurant. It doesn't make sense to me. But in Seattle, the general rule is to always bet on what?
Always bet on.
Stupid.
That was from the movie.
And Wesley Snipes.
That was Wesley Snipes' line. And he delivered it with such passion.
I can't believe he didn't win an Oscar for that.
I think he should have.
Always bet on.
Stupid.
See?
Just delivers it beautifully.
It's almost like he was talking about Seattle. I got to go back and watch the movie. I don't remember where the plane was. Like where it was headed. SeaTac, maybe.
I mean, perhaps.
I don't think it was.
Where was it going then?
I think it was going DC. I think. I don't remember. He's a marshal in the movie. I think.
I've never heard of this movie.
It's about
today.
A plane. It's a plane that gets hijacked. And I'm pretty sure he's a marshal.
There are so many movies that are set on airplanes, like Air Force One, or what's Denzel? Flight. Flight?
He was a pilot in Flight, and he was a drunk.
Yeah, but I don't know.
He was a drunk, and he saved everyone, but he was drunk when he did it.
Sully.
That was not about a hijacking.
No, I'm just saying based on airplanes. Like, there's very limited setting that you can do on airplanes. Why are there so many airplane movies? Airplane?
Airplane 2. Is there a 3? I don't remember. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text.
Yelm, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories out of Seattle because the media is already hyper-focused on Seattle. And instead, we focus on the stories coming out of the communities that you care about. the communities that you live in. And we start in Pierce County more generally. Why? Because you've heard the new guidance. We've been talking about the new guidance. CDC says you should wear a mask indoors even if you're fully vaccinated. We know that that makes no sense. We know that that is not based in sound science. And perhaps we now know why. Perhaps it's simply being used to scare people into getting vaccinated. And you can look towards Pierce County because King 5 says, even though we don't have all the hard data yet, workers at the local clinics are saying, yeah, we're seeing a whole bunch of more people coming in now for vaccines.
We need to just break the virus's back. And the way to do it is give us your arm.
Give us your arm. I gave my arm only to find out I didn't need to detach it. They meant just show your arm and we'll put a needle in it.
You cut your arm off?
I cut my arm off. However, you're saying, well, that sounds like an awful experience. And I'm not going to lie. It was excruciating. Side effect of the vaccine was I grew another arm.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
I love modern medicine.
I'm kidding. The arm did not grow back.
Yet.
No, it's not going to grow back. They're saying, and by the way, we're hearing similar anecdotal data nationwide that after they pushed this new guidance, after they started to scare you intentionally on the Delta variant, that people have gone in and started to get vaccinated. Randy Eveland is a provider at a Pierce County vaccination clinic. Randy told King 5.
We're seeing some uptick lately. People are beginning to take this very seriously now.
They're seeing an uptick. People like Frank, for example, showing up. He wanted to wait to get vaccinated because now he doesn't want to wait. He wanted to wait before because, you know, I'm just kind of concerned. Now he's all like, no, it's spreading. I'm going to go get vaccinated finally.
Yeah, they're saying it's easy to get like chicken pox.
Easy to get like chicken pox. Frank says that some people are not being mindful of the virus after being vaccinated.
I don't like the fact that we got more COVID cases spiking. People, I don't think, are being careful enough even after they're vaccinated. So, you know, if people continue to wear their masks, hopefully we can take it down to a level where we can eradicate it.
You know, Frank is awfully judgy for a guy who waited this long to get vaccinated, isn't he?
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Really judgy.
Yeah, I don't get it. You waited all this time.
You could have got it. And how old is this guy? He sounds older.
Yeah, he was above 50.
Yeah. So, in other words, he got priority access to it, chose not to, and now he's all like, the second he gave up his arm for that shot, oh, you know, other people, they're just being really, really
how selfish.
Just super judgy, dude.
The audacity.
How dare you, sir? Meanwhile, out in Eatonville, we'll stay in Pierce County for a bit. Last night was the National Night Out. Do you know what that is?
Sounds like a good time.
I mean, it sounds like a good time. It's just you go out and you hang out with cops and they tell you about what they do. And it's not, that doesn't sound interesting to me because I talk to cops all the time. But it's a good idea to go out into the community.
Is there alcohol involved?
Only if you agree to drive afterwards.
Okay.
So then, because then they can't just be like, I got the day off, I worked, and then they get paid for it. I'm kidding. No, of course not, you dummy. Why would,
because
sometimes there's barbecues.
It's a national night out.
Yeah,
when
sometimes
I go
you can
up
do
for
barbecues.
A night out, I'm looking for a drink of some sort or another. Yeah, how else am I supposed to cope
sometimes
with this workplace?
These neighborhoods, they get together and they sort of do like a street fair. What are they called? A neighborhood blah, blah, blah.
Cookouts?
Yeah, okay, we'll go with cookout. And they invite cops and cops come over. And basically what it's for, it's a great cause, which is, we're just going to learn more about what officers do. We're going to have more of a connection to the police departments here and the people who protect us and serve us. And so they did it last night in Eatonville. It got a little bit ugly because of something that happened.
Was there a brawl?
No. So a Pierce County Sheriff canine unit came out. And they were doing some kind of demonstration with the canine. And at some point, the canine went into the crowd. Now, it was supposed to come back to the sheriff's deputy. It had something else in mind. It ended up biting a 9-year-old boy. Now, we're supposed to be outraged by this or concerned for the child. But what they don't tell you is the 9-year-old was accused of murder. And the dog got him.
I also heard the 9-year-old was moving a lot of weight in drugs. And that's what the canine was going after.
9 pounds of fentanyl pills, to be exact. And a murderer. Serial killer, even. So I'm siding with the dog.
Yeah. I mean, get this kid off the street.
I'm obviously kidding. It was not 9 pounds of fentanyl. It was 6. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm kidding, too.
There was no fentanyl involved. It was cocaine. I'm kidding. It was just some kid, 9 years old, who ended up getting bitten by this dog. Crews at the scene helped out the child. They put a bandage on him. And that's it. It was a minor dog bite. Why is this a story?
You
put a bandage on it?
Like a Band-Aid brand bandage?
This is what Como reports. Como says, crews at the scene helped the child, who was bandaged up at the doctor for a minor dog bite. Why was a doctor involved if it's just a little bandage?
Was there one in the crowd? Like somebody shrieking, oh my God, is there a doctor in the house?
Someone a doctor and someone raised his hand. It's like, oh, I'm a doctor, I'm a dentist.
Yeah. No,
like,
you're a dentist.
No, we're not doing that. We want a real doctor. I can prescribe medication. Okay, give me an Ambien. But then sit down. And then an actual doctor came forward and said, this requires a bandage. And so they put it on and he's fine. They did put the dog down, though.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. They don't actually say what happened to the dog. Isn't that like a rule?
I don't know.
I hope it's not. I hope the dog is okay.
Maybe the dog just gets put on administrative leave.
They say it's the first time the dog has had a negative incident, but now he's going through an inquest by the state. He used force without probable cause. So now the dog's going to be decertified.
It's amazing what these lawmakers are doing to the blue.
Maybe the dog was just like, you know what, I'm done. This is the defund police movement is too much. I'm getting demonized all the time. It used to be that people in the community would pet me and say, oh, it's such a cute German Shepherd. And now it's calling me all dogs are bastards. And it's awful.
Yeah, those signs are just getting out of hand.
Someone's chanting in the back, A-D-A-B. And it's calling it quits. It didn't sign up for this. It signed up for the belly rubs and the crime solving, and it's not able to do either anymore. So it's out.
Turner and the Hooch really, really turned around.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Disney Plus is doing a remake of that. I'm going to check it out. And then the dog checked it out and said, I got to get out of this business because this dog's making a whole bunch of money for this garbage content. Canines are very opinionated. They're as judgy as our friend Randy from the last story.
Pierce County, man.
Finally, the city of Vancouver is moving ahead with a pilot program that creates what they're calling supportive campsites for homeless people. This according to Como TV. The city council gave its support to change the camping ordinance so that they would allow for this pilot program, which would create different locations throughout the city to offer sanitation and hygiene services for the homeless, basically allowing you to set up camp for up to 40 people. It would be fenced in, and it would have an on-site operator. So in a way, it's like a tiny home village, except instead of the homes, you have tents. This is supposed to only be temporary, and by temporary, they say 2 to 3 years. You're never going to get rid of these things. And they're not going to be a success because they're likely not going to follow any semblance of order that you need for these things to be a success. What we've seen time and time and time again, all across the state, and really all across the country, are similar programs that don't really put the onus on the homeless person to get their life in order. What ends up happening is they just kind of set up camp, they feel comfortable, which the left will tell us, well, as a result of feeling comfortable and not thinking that their stuff is going to be stolen, having some security, means they can focus on fixing whatever needs to be fixed, an underlying health condition that needs treatment, getting job training, or just being able to go to job interviews feeling okay because now you have access to a shower and a shave. But they don't ever see real results. Not really. They see some results sometimes for some people, but we never see meaningful results. And thus, they never go away. You've now allowed them to feel less discomfort in a way that disincentivizes the right kinds of folks to change their life. When we see a carrot and stick approach, We've seen actual results that work. When you offer consequences to illegal behavior as it relates to homelessness, we've seen it work. And some folks on the left want to pretend that that kind of treatment is inhumane. I would argue living out on the streets and making it easy to stay out on the streets, that's truly inhumane. Tough love does not work for everybody, but it works for some folks. And rather than find the people that this could work for, that kind of approach, we've just given up. We were talking about the encampment in the city we don't talk about in this segment last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, around I-5 and I-90. And they finally cleared it because a whole bunch of people kept throwing debris out onto the freeway hitting cars. And we heard from one guy who's been living there for years. For years. 4 years. And he was being left alone for those 4 years for the most part. Why didn't, in those 4 years, did he try to get help? He didn't. You know how I know? Because he's living there for 4 years. If they get into a position, not all, but some, and a large group of them, of homeless folks who get into a position of just feeling total comfort, they're going to stay there because they, in a lot of cases, have the feeling that they can never get on the right path. And that's the lack of compassion. Buying into that feeling, allowing it to fester, and not pushing them hard to get the help that they need. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text message. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. I'm not watching the Olympics beyond just a couple of clips of people who seem like really great folks. We talked about one of them in the last hour. She happened to win a gold medal for wrestling. Tamira Mensah Stock, she decided to actually celebrate this country and the opportunities it afforded her over her career to put her in a position on an international stage to show us how good she is at wrestling. She embraced America. You've got some of the people who don't. The folks who like to focus on the negative, make it about themselves and their political opinions instead of making it about representing this country. And then you've got some interesting storylines that I do think are worth talking about, but aren't quite nearly interesting enough for me to get involved in. And frankly, that's the Simone Biles stuff. I talked about the frankly nasty response that some people had when she decided to pull out of the team competition and then pull out of everything except for the last competition. On the solo stage, she did the
beam.
Yeah,
the beam.
The balance beam. I know. I was about to say that.
Were you?
Yeah. I literally had coming out of my mouth and you stepped on it.
Beam.
No, it's the beam.
Yeah, it's the beam.
She did reasonably well enough to get the silver. Good for her. And I certainly think that it is an interesting storyline in a general sense of overcoming some adversity. And for her, she was dealing with the spinnies or the
twisties,
where she loses her sense of up and down and her positioning in the air, which of course is incredibly dangerous. Now, I always thought that seems to be inevitable when you're doing 14,000 different twists in the air at once. Apparently, you do have a sense of where you are. That's why she's an elite gymnast, I suppose. So she decided to compete again, and she got the silver. She overcame some adversity. Obviously, it would have been more meaningful to get the gold, but silver is really, really good still, especially given the circumstances that pulled her out. So NBC decided to use Taylor Swift to narrate the return of Simone Biles. I don't like it when we really lean into the hyperbole in discussing someone's heroism. Now, I get more annoyed when people call themselves heroes, but this goes so incredibly far in the overcoming of adversity. On top of that, Taylor Swift is insufferable.
Oh, you hate her.
I cannot stand anything about Taylor Swift. She is a complete phony.
Not even the Red Album?
Nothing!
1989.
She is a phony. Because I knew her back in the days of country music. Not knew her personally, but I had interviewed her before and embarrassed myself. But I interviewed her when she was a country music star, and she embraced who she was, but then she got all poppy, realizing I could make a whole bunch of money, so I'm going to pretend to be someone I'm not. And now she's just everywhere. Listen to this narration.
What do we want from our heroes?
Okay. I don't want to pretend that an Olympian is really a hero.
I want my heroes to defeat Thanos, and that's it.
I want my heroes to serve our country and protect us from enemies, not protect us from another country getting the gold. There is importance to this. There is certainly symbolism of this. I certainly want us to get the most gold. We're not China, actually, as I believe. But we've got more medals than them, I think. But, I mean, if we got a whole bunch of bronze, big deal, what are you going to do?
Medal counts what counts.
No, gold's what count. That's what I count. But I'm not going to call her a hero.
What do we expect from them?
To compete and not pull out. I mean, isn't that more of a... If you're going to go with the hero stuff, wouldn't it have been... And again, I don't attack her for pulling out. Good for her. She did what was best for her. And I have a lot of empathy and sympathy for the position that she's in. But you're more of a hero if you overcome that and stay in the competitions, right?
I mean, yeah, I see your point.
And again, I'm not saying she's a bad person or weak for pulling out. I'm not calling someone a hero for quitting, even if it's if it's the right move to make. You're not a hero for quitting.
Yeah, Spider-Man would have quit. He's not a hero anymore.
You made the right move. Spider-Man lost most of his powers and his suit. Had he stopped afterwards and said, well, I could get seriously hurt if I go back and try to kill Jake Gyllenhaal and whatever.
Mysterio.
Then you'd be like, oh, well, you know, he did what's right for him. Yeah, but a whole bunch of people would have died. And a bad guy would have gotten power.
What do we need from them?
To show up.
What happens when they surprise us?
And that
we get disappointed. Attack her on Twitter.
Just doubting herself somewhere.
When you have the attention of the world, everything you do takes on a bigger meaning.
Yeah, okay.
It can be a heavy burden.
Yeah,
nobody knows what it feels like, except for Simone Biles.
It's got to be a lonely place at times.
I just wanted you.
It can be a chance to change everything.
Put mental health first because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are.
Throughout the last week, her voice has been as significant as her talents.
I mean, the talents that weren't put on display because she pulled out. But again, it doesn't make you a hero. It makes you human.
Taylor Swift's the hero.
I hate Taylor Swift so much. I just hate her. I mean, I did like the video where they put that one song to the 80s exercise tape. What was that? Oh, that was a good one.
Shake It Off or whatever?
No. Haters gonna hate whatever that one is. Jason Rancho.